Welcome to the Jazz Piano School podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. This show is for jazz pianists who are putting in the work, practicing, studying, listening, but still feel unclear about how everything is supposed to fit together. If you've ever felt like you're jumping between ideas without a clear path, let me tell you this, you are not alone. And the good thing is you're in the right place. Let's get into today's episode. You know, almost every student who has ever come to me in some form or another, in person, online, through the years I've taught at Jazz Piano School or even private teaching, they've said some version of the same exact three things. And here's what they are. Brendan, I want to learn how to comp or play with other musicians. Play in a band, right? Play in a group. That's number one. Number two, Brendan, I want to learn how to play solo piano so I can play songs for my family, sit at home, play, walk up to any piano I see, sit down and play solo piano. And finally, Brendan, I want to learn how to improvise. I want to be able to make up stuff on the spot, improvise lines with my right hand, create progressions, and just create music from scratch. Most of the time they're talking about the right hand, right? Being able to improvise lines, but all of that is really included. So those are the three goals. But the problem isn't that the students don't know what they want, because they do. They literally tell me, right? The problem is that they don't know that each one requires a completely different set of tools. So today, I want to show you the learning hierarchy I've developed after teaching thousands of students. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School podcast. My name is Brendan. Thank you so much for being here. This is going to be a great episode. For years, I've tried to teach jazz piano by topics. So I was teaching voicings, right? Scales, tunes, transcriptions. And a lot of the time, you're going to see this on throughout the internet and websites and things like that. Yada, yada, yada. But eventually, I realized, right, you're not really trying to learn these things. That's not your ultimate goal. These are the tools. These are the vehicles to get you to your goal, right? So you're essentially not invested in learning this stuff, even though it's fun, but the goal that you want, the thing that you actually desire, is really the outcome, right? It's the outcome of learning how to comp so that you can play with other musicians, play in a group, play with a bass player, play with a drummer, play with a sax player, play music, make music in bands, right? Or sit down at the piano and play solo piano, right? For your friends, for your family, or whatever you want to have fun. Or obviously learn how to improvise. So you can improvise things. You can improvise with your right hand. You can create that feeling of the blues or bebop or the sounds that you hear on the album. Those are the outcomes. The voicings, the scales, the tunes, the transcriptions, the information that you're getting on YouTube or around on the websites, those are just the vehicles. They're the tools. So eventually, and this happened just a couple years ago, I started organizing everything around your goals instead of the tools, because this is what you want. All right, this leads me to goal number one, comping and voicings. This is where everything begins, because before you can play solo piano, before you can improvise, you need harmony. You need voicings. You need to understand the inner workings of chords, because this is literally going to lead you towards everything else, solo piano and improvisation. And by the way, when we categorize the goals down into these three simple things, it's so much more easy to wrap your mind around that and go towards a goal of your choice, rather than having thousands of tools and scattered all about and you trying to collect all these different things. You can go towards a goal because I can give you the tools. Now, learning to accompany, hearing harmony, creating beautiful sounds, this all happens within comping and voicings. And they go hand in hand, because for comping or accompaniment, you need voicings. You need to learn how to play voicings, jazz voicings on the piano, right? Now, I'm going to break this down. And again, just to reiterate, voicings and comping go hand in hand with solo piano. When you play solo piano, don't misunderstand this. It's comping is not just about playing in a group, because you need to know how to comp for yourself. This is very, very important. I try to say this a lot, because most people are like, oh, I don't need comping. You do. Everyone needs comping and voicings because you need to accompany yourself in solo piano. That's one of the major components that happens. I'm going to talk more about that. But in accompaniment on the piano, my systematic format is broken down into four zones, and I teach this a lot. So if you're just finding this or if you're re-listening, it's very important in so many different ways. Zone one is down at the bottom end of the piano. Zone two is the middle to low portion of the piano. Zone three is the middle to high portion of the piano. And zone four is the highest portion of the piano. Now, when we break down the entirety of the piano, all 88 keys, into four simple zones, we can then teach, I can teach you the exact voicings and setups that go into each one. When they're used, why they're used, and how they're used. How simple does that become? It's a very clear, simple learning process, right? Now, again, instead of trying to pick up thousands of voicings, learn as many voicings as you can, modern voicings, different things like that, when you learn this, you're covering the entirety of the voicing spectrum and comping, okay? So I'm going to go over these real quickly. Zone one here, in its very simplest form, is some sort of right-hand voicing. I'm not going to get too specific right now, but some sort of right-hand voicing with left-hand bass notes. Now, again, at this point, students are really thrown off because most of the time, you're taught by teachers or videos online to stay around middle C, or you've been trying to learn drop twos, you're trying to learn fourth voicings up in the higher register of the piano. Your mind hasn't even thought about being in the low end of the piano or even the middle to low end of the piano. It's not even on that because of recordings that you hear, teachers, bands you play in, combos, who knows, right? But this low end is going to be one of the fundamental areas you should really learn to master because it's going to create a warm, rich, lush, harmonic, supportive blanket for yourself, whether you're playing solo piano or whether you're playing in a band with others. And I promise you, this particular nugget could be the door that unlocks everything for a better, greater, improved sound in almost all areas of your playing. And that's going to be zone one and two of your bottom end harmonic support, right? And most students, like 9 out of 10 students, are missing this. And that's why it's so important for you to actually dive into this, study it, and learn it. Now, yes, you can play the bass notes. In solo piano, you need to play the bass notes because you have no bass player. That should make very clear, perfect sense to everyone listening, right? But again, so many times I don't hear students playing the low end of the piano when they play solo piano. They're really up here in the high end, right? You hear how high this is? Right? You need these rich, lush sounds down here in the bottom end of the piano to really stabilize everything you're putting on top of it. And the same thing goes for whether you're playing in a band too. So definitely you need the bass notes playing in your left hand while you're playing solo piano. And even in a band, when you have a bass player, playing bass notes is great. You are supporting your right hand harmonically to give that bottom end harmonic support to whatever voicing it is you're playing in your right hand. Now, no, you're not going to interfere with the bass player. I promise you, you're not going to interfere because you are not walking bass. They are walking bass and they're moving around. All you're doing is playing the root to your voicing. If you are walking bass while they're walking bass, oh boy, okay, yes, you're going to get some death stares from the bass player and definitely some questions or orders to stop, right? If you're just playing bass notes with your voicings, it's almost imperceptible. And it's imperceptible to the fact that it's going to sound so warm and fuzzy to the group. And even the bass player, they're going to be like, what are you doing? And you're going to be like, all I'm doing is adding some bass notes. And that's it. Trust me, you'll thank me later. Okay? That's going to be zone one. Right hand voicing of some sort. Simple shell voicings. Rootless voicings. Advanced voicings. Left hand bass notes. Now, zone two gets into an addition of just one note in your left hand. Your right hand can really start to play still any voicing it wants. Again, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but your left hand is going to be playing now 1 in 7, 1 in 3, or 1 in 10. This is the mid to low area of the piano. The voicings sound like this. (Music) beautiful, balanced, rich, mid to low EQ balanced voicings, right? And the great thing about the two zones I just described to you is that they sit below the melody. That means you are supporting the melody. You're supporting improvisation, which usually happens up in these registers, right? So all of these registers here up top will sit on top of your harmonies, and everyone is going to love you, including yourself. When you play solo piano, you're going to find that your playing takes on a whole new depth, a whole new professional level, just because of this simple concept that so many students pass by. Okay, that's going to be zone two. Zone three, this is where we get into 99% of the voicings that students go to the internet to learn, or go to the membership websites to learn, right? It's going to be the drop twos. Right? They sound cool. I get it. I love them to death. They're fantastic. Okay? It's going to be some modern voicings up here too. Right? You can definitely use modern voicings in the low end too. They just get a little muddy too fast. So a lot of times the modern voicings are really around middle C and up to some degree. But zone three is really mainly used for, we're getting into the spices area, right? For fills, if you're playing solo piano, I use drop two voicings for like an arranging technique or to fill. But mainly I'm not sitting there. I'm really not sitting in zone three when I play solo piano that much. I don't need drop two voicings. I could play solo piano to the cows come home and not use a single drop two voicings. On the other hand, I could not play solo piano to the cows come home without using zone two by any means. I need zone two in my solo piano playing to play beautiful spreads. I need that stuff to really have that bottom end. So zone three is really kind of the last thing you should be tackling, right? But again, it does give you those beautiful comping voicings. Like if you're in a group, you're going to want to use those. You're going to want to learn your upper structure triads here, right? These are beautiful. And obviously your modern voicings. But again, that's a small portion of the pie. I would say that's like 5% of the pie when accompanying or comping. And zone four is a great, easy area to learn, which is going to be right-hand octaves or 1-5-1 and left-hand voicing of some kind. So left-hand voicing can be a shell, can be a three-note voicing, it can be a four-note voicing, it can be a five-note voicing, it can be a six-note voicing in your left hand. That's a six-note voicing right there. Right? I'm playing six notes in my left hand. So it really can be anything you want in your left hand. Okay? And your right hand is up here in the upper register playing some sort of octave or 1-5-1. Right? And this gives beautiful colored textures. Very classic, old school. It's used for so many different things, but that's zone four. And again, this episode's not about learning it, but just understanding the hierarchy of education around these goals. So the key point here is that every zone starts with simple structures, simple voicings, and they are consistent. They're consistent. It's not like you're guessing anymore. Each zone has a specific setup that you're going to use, and it doesn't change. It doesn't change. Every time I'm in one of these zones, I use the same exact setup, right? This makes it so easy to go after these goals and literally sprint and get fast results, right? And this is what I teach. And understanding this is really your first step to going after and making massive amounts of progress very, very fast, okay? So let's move on to goal two. Solo piano. Okay, solo piano is just an absolute rabbit hole. And with the structured breakdown I'm about to explain to you and educate you on, right, hopefully your mindset is going to shift, okay? And hopefully you're going to have an understanding of the elements and the styles for your goals in solo piano. Because most students tell me this. They say, Brendan, I just want to sit down and make the piano sound full. I just want to play solo piano. That's it, right? I want to play solo piano, and I want to play beautiful things like I hear on the albums and, you know, just have a blast opening up to real book tunes and playing solo piano. Great. I love that for you. You have to go further, though, because that's not what solo piano is exactly about. It breaks down a little bit further, not that much, but it breaks down into these three styles, okay? And you have to choose what style that you want, because each style requires a different approach, a different skill set, different sets of practice exercises, and a different mentality, and different sets of voicings, which I just talked to you about in goal one, right? So you're going to borrow different types of voicings from the different zones depending upon what solo piano style you want to play. Here are the three solo piano styles, and they're really broken down by feeling and tempo. So style number one, I start with this style because it's the slowest tempo, and you can really get a grasp for things at a slower tempo. And that's going to be the cocktail ballad style, right? So many students want to learn this, and everyone is looking for education on this. It's a beautiful style, and like the pretty, gorgeous, lush lounge, you know, playing and whatever it is, right? So right, just gorgeous cocktail style ballad. So that's style one, and that's slow. That's going to be essentially about 76 BPM and down, right? Sometimes it does creep over that. It's a gray area right on the tempo marking I'm giving you, because it can creep over depending upon how fast the ballad, but around 76 BPM, I've heard ballads at 80, but it's getting into that walking ballad at that point. But that's going to be style one. Style two is going to be around 80 to about 120, 130 BPM. This is style number two. This is the slow and medium swing solo piano style. The slow and medium swing solo piano style. Now, this approach, this style is different from the cocktail ballad style, right? Explainably so, because you know you're not playing lush voicings anymore. It's not a slow tempo. You have different things that are happening, right? So you might have, right? Yada, yada, yada. That's a slow to medium swing. Now, clearly, as you hear my playing, I'm doing a lot of different things. I'm using a lot of different voicings, a lot of different approaches, different types of rhythms, different skill sets to pull off style number two, slow and medium swing. To pull off On Green Dolphin Street, I need different skill sets, okay? More rhythm enters here in this style, more comping, more movement, right? The harmonic language actually stays very similar when harmonizing the melody as the cocktail style ballad. But now, guess what enters more here? A lot more. Comping. Comping has much for ourselves, right? Comping has a much stronger emphasis in style two than it did in the cocktail ballad style, because we need to comp for ourselves to keep that rhythm, that nice solid rhythm going. So that's when I played the melody here. I comped. Comp. Comp. I'm comping for myself when playing these slow and medium swing tunes, okay? And this is where I'm borrowing from goal number one, because let's say I've gone through goal number one. I know how to comp a little bit in zone one and zone two. I can now comp for myself in style number two of the solo piano method. Does that make sense? Because I've learned the comping, right? So hopefully this, you're like, oh my God, this is connecting the dots. This makes sense. I hope that's what it's doing for you, because literally I've spent the past couple of years redesigning all of my education, and it's come to this pinnacle. It's this fruition, which is literally transforming students playing in front of my eyes, right? And I actually tested all of this, not to get into a soapbox here, but I tested all of this with my VIP coaching students and my live programs that I've been running over the past couple of years, and the results were absolutely mind-blowing. So I'm super happy to share this. Hopefully it's changing your mindset, right? Style number two, slow and medium swing. Style number three is going to be medium and up. So now our solo piano approach shifts again, one more time. So we have a lot of different things that come into play. We have things like walking bass, broken stride, the left hand becomes much more independent from the right hand. We're not doing as many big spread voicings or thick voicings anymore because the tempo is fast. So I'm talking about 135 and up now, all the way up to 200, 250, right? If you're playing super fast stuff, a lot of students don't get up there. But again, even 140 to 190, those start to be really fast, right? And so again, my approach and my style has to change. So now I start to do more with my left hand. My right hand's playing single melody notes, right? Yada, yada, yada. My right hand is doing more single note melody lines. I don't have time to harmonize. I have a little bit of time to comp, right? So comping is still prevalent in this particular style when you have the time, but a lot of times you don't have that much time, so you got to sneak it in, right? But the whole point here is that my left hand is now doing much different things. My right hand's doing different things. It's a completely new style, completely new skill set, completely different educational path, right? So all three of these styles, you have to pick. You got to pick what style it is you want to learn. Now, can you learn all three styles? Of course. But you're going to need different educational tools to get to your goal of playing these tunes. So when you say, I want to learn solo piano, that's great. What style of solo piano jazz do you want to learn? Because if you open up to the real book and you're flipping through, you're going to encounter these three styles. You're going to encounter a lot more too, meter changes, things like that. But everything stems from really this. So if you can even start to throw this into your routine or your kind of directional mindset of how you're working at your journey, your solo piano journey, it's going to help you immensely. And it's one of the things that's really laid out clearly in the new Jazz Piano School Academy. I'll talk to you more about that later. But all these systems are all set up to guide you down the path and give you the tools you need. Goal number three, improvisation. So I'm going to wrap this up with goal number three. But this is where most people start, because people are drawn to jazz through improvisation, right? And ironically, it's actually where I think they should finish, because you need so many different things. Improvisation depends on literally everything before it. Okay, it depends on your knowledge and your ability to play harmonies in your hands, right hand and left hand. You need it both for improvisation. Even your solo piano, right? You can't just improvise all the time. You need melodies, you need tunes to play, right? And then the improvisation happens. Jazz, well, some free jazz, right? The majority of jazz has the melody happen, and then the improvisation takes place, and then the melody happens again. That's the structure of jazz, right? So improvisation, I get that we all want to learn how to improvise, but if you spend a little bit of time building your fundamentals and learning about comping and voicings, and then solo piano styles, one of the solo piano styles you want, your improvisation is going to be that much better. Because again, improvisation is going to change based on different types of things, different types of elements or goals that you might have. So listen closely. People say, I want to learn how to improvise. Great. I'm immediately going to ask you, if you tell this to me, do you want to improvise in a group with other musicians? Now, when I say a group, I mean some sort of group that has a bass player in it. Or do you want to improvise by yourself in a solo piano format, right? Which one do you want? Because that question alone is immediately going to divide the educational resources and tools that you need to study. And that decision alone will save you 50% of the time and effort that you're going to put in, you know, that a student is going to put in and possibly waste, most likely waste in their journey. I did for years, right? So in solo piano, you're responsible for rhythm, harmony, melody, bass notes, everything. You're responsible for everything. So when you improvise, that is really, really difficult. That's a difficult thing to do. Now, I'm not saying it's can't be done. Obviously, it can be, and there's simple strategies and ways to get you into this, but you're responsible for everything. So that's a lot to be responsible for if you're a beginner or you're just wanting to learn how to improvise. Wouldn't you agree? Now, in group improvisation, your role changes now, right? If you have a bass player, they can do two amazing things for you. They can play the roots and walk a bass line. This has that bottom end harmony that's going to stabilize the sound of the tune. Even if they're walking bass notes, right? You're going to hear the progression. You can hear a tune based on the roots already. And if they are playing like two feel or walking bass, you're also going to have time. You have time from them. So if I'm playing a duet with a bass player, I can lay out. I can literally take my hands off the piano and not play if I want for a whole measure, two measures, four measures, right? Eight measures might be a little weird or more than that, but you get the picture, right? I can't do that in solo piano. I mean, you know, give or take, right? Obviously, I can leave space, but I really need to uphold the structure of the tune and deliver harmonies and rhythm and time. I'm responsible for that. With a bass player, I'm not. So if you want to learn group improvisation, that's so much easier than learning solo piano improvisation, right? Does that make sense? Now, there's a couple other breakdowns as well. Each style will have different types of feelings and musicality elements that you need to learn in your improvisation. If you're playing a ballad, the feeling and the style of improvisation over a ballad, right, is going to be drastically different than some sort of up-tempo tune or maybe even a medium-tempo tune. Now, it's not as much as all three styles. You really only have two styles. You have the ballad, like straight eighth feel, or just swinging, okay? So you do have to ask these questions as well. What tempo am I improvising at? A slow, straight eighth ballad. I won't even get into the straight eighth versus swung ballad, right? So many students confuse even what a ballad is. Like a swing ballad is different than a straight eighth ballad, right? So clearly you have a lot to know and understand before just kind of diving into this. And the more you can educate and empower yourself with this knowledge, the better you're going to be right off the bat. You're going to be fully equipped to know exactly what you want, the tools you need, and then you can go at exactly the goal that you're trying to accomplish, right? So once you know the tempo, right, then you can kind of start to go at the your improvisation journey. And obviously, you've picked whether it's solo piano or group. I highly recommend starting with group because you have a lot more freedom. It's easier. Your left hand doesn't even need to be playing. Your right hand I can just solo with my right hand with a bass player playing, right? So, right? I was walking bass with my left hand, but picture that as a bass player. My right hand can just improvise, okay? So then after that, the journey becomes certain improvisational elements, right? And the main proficiency levels that I teach are essentially three things. Well, yeah, three levels. Chord tones, which should be pretty much there if you've gone through the comping goal already. Chord scales, okay, it's kind of like level two. And level three is more rhythm and musicality, right? Creating exciting, engaging improvisational solos with space and rest and rhythm and musicality, dynamics, slides, different things like that, right? After that level, you get into what I call a split, right? The path kind of diverges in a fun way based on the style that you want because you have the basics, you have the fundamentals. So now you can go after bebop. You can go after blues. You can go after more modern improvisation. But the first three levels there, chord tones, chord scales, and level three, musicality and rhythm, they're all going to stay consistent for no matter what style you learn. So if you really don't have those first three levels down, then going into bebop, going into blues, going to modern language, it doesn't really matter because those early fundamentals are going to hold you back in your improvisational journey. And I see that all the time. I mean, students are wondering why they don't sound good or, you know, they're playing great bebop vocabulary and notes. The notes sound good, you know, but the rhythm and the musicality is missing, the development, the engagement, right? So the goal for improv really isn't just learning licks. The goal is developing tools that can become spontaneous. And the more that you know about the niche in the area of improvisation and the other two goals, the better you're going to be. Okay? So here's the big idea. Most students, after listening to this, are going to try to learn all three goals at the same time. Please do not do this, right? Imagine trying to become a great accompanist, right? A great solo pianist and a great improviser all spontaneously. Okay? It's almost impossible. You have to pick a lane. Now, can you do everything? Of course. But you need to pick a lane and stay in a lane. And I do recommend people kind of veer off if they want some, you know, a break or some new material in some other category. That's fine to kind of stimulate your brain, give you a hit of dopamine, and then come back to the lane. Okay? Or once you've kind of cleared a proficiency level, which is kind of in the Proficient Jazz Pianist that we offer and also inside the new Jazz Piano School Academy that just launched today, actually, then you can start to switch over the lanes and learn more advanced tracks from those different things. But please just pick one goal to stick with and build it, right? Build that goal. And then once you've hit a certain proficiency, move to the next one. Stack on your new levels and build that next goal. It's like building small buildings in each different land block or something, right? You move to the next block over, and then you build your next building up. And then you move to the next, maybe you build three floors. Then you move over to your next plot of land, you build another three floors. And then you move back to your first building and you build two more floors on top of that, right? And that's how your confidence compounds. It's how you start seeing results real fast. It's how you break out of your plateau and the spinning mud wheels, right? So hopefully this hierarchy was helpful to you. Hopefully it changed the way that you think about it, because I can honestly tell you this, after utilizing it over the past 3 to 4 years now with live students, I literally, you know, redid my whole educational curriculum and was using this with my live students in my live teaching programs. It changed the way I teach and delivered more results than I'd ever seen in the past. So instead of asking today, what should I practice, right? What I want you to ask is this: what goal am I building towards? And when you ask that, every practice session that you sit down to do suddenly has newfound purpose. And you feel confident because you know exactly that what you're practicing is leading to your desired outcome. And when you do that, my friends, you feel happy, you feel good, you feel joyful, and the pursuit of the art is inside of you in a joyous way, rather than slugging yourself to the piano, feeling frustrated, doubtful, right? Annoyed that you're not making progress or you don't know what you're doing. This suddenly gives you purpose and momentum and inspiration to reach your goal, which is a lot of times what helps students either make it or not make it, right? So as I said before, this whole philosophy that I've concocted and developed is exactly why I actually built the new Jazz Piano School Academy. This is a brand new platform. I built it around these three goals. We took all the information that was in the old Jazz Piano School platform, transferred that, but I added these new things and I added the Proficient Jazz Pianist, the advanced tracks, and all the information. Now, everything inside follows the same progression. You're building harmony through comping and voicings. You're learning to create complete solo piano arrangements, then develop the freedom to improvise naturally. And it's not about learning more information. It's about following a clear path to become the pianist that you want to be. And besides all the new bells and whistles, the gamification, the beautiful community, the speed, the amazing app that you can get for the new Jazz Piano School Academy, the information and the structure, the infrastructure for the streamlined process that I've now set up. Literally, if you work through it, there's no way that you can't reach your goals unless you're just not simply practicing, right? The path is there. The path is there. You just need to walk it. So if you'd like to get more information about the Academy launch right now, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/academy and you'll get an information page with the discount launch pricing that we're offering right now only for the week, which closes July 14th. And then the Academy will be offered at a slightly higher price after this launch pricing closes. But we are launched right now, so you can join if you'd like to and explore all those different things. And yeah, hopefully this has changed just a lot of your mindset shift and everything, the way that you approach learning information, because this hierarchy is can really kind of structure your entire roadmap of how you go about learning jazz piano. Okay, so with that being said, I'll talk to you guys soon. And as always, happy practicing.